We at Mount Zion's Mission Barbados Four Square Church, with Senior Apostles Dr. Lucille and Chris Beard, invite you to tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory, to hear the powerful Word of God that will transform and change your life. Remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. Let's hear the Word of God.
A very blessed morning to all listeners in Barbados, Eastern Caribbean, and wherever this program is being heard. I'm as usual, always excited to come to you on Friday mornings. And I'm glad that the Lord has given us that grace and the privilege to be able to share with you a word, a testimony, something that's happening in His name, something that's happening in the kingdom. And boy, are we experiencing some great things in the kingdom. Praise God. We are seeing the manifestation of God's glory in the kingdom over and over. And so this morning, I thank you for your support. I thank you for your praise. I thank you for your words of encouragement that has been coming in to us, and that those that have been meeting me on the street somewhere or in the supermarket, you're saying that the program is a blessing. May God continue to bless you through this program. May our hearts always be open to serve God so we can serve others for the kingdom of God. And so I'm so excited this morning to share a word with you, and of course to include these ministers that are here with me, Apostle Chris, Reverend Gail, and Elder Andrew Octave. Praise God. We're going to start off with a prayer, and Elder Andrew is going to pray for us.
Blessed good morning to all. As we come before you, Father, in this great and awesome day, we thank you for the ability to take your word to the airwaves, to spread the gospel of the good news of Jesus to all those who need it, to spread the light of Christ to this dark and dreary world. We thank you, Father, that you will continue to use our leaders to give God glory, to give God praise, to elevate His name. And as we do it, Father, we pray that the seeds that are sown in the hearts of men and women will continue to grow and be watered by your Spirit. We speak this into being in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the name of God. Thank you, Elder Octave. Praise God. We're still in the team that God has given to us. It's the dawning of a new era and a new day. But Reverend Gill, we've been looking at the fact that if we can have a new era and a new day, we've got to reach a point where we're dissatisfied with where we're at.
That's right.
You cannot, you know, expect to have a new era and a new day and still embrace all the old things that you're embracing and still remain in the same old place you've been in for the last couple of years and still remain doing the same old things that is not getting any satisfaction to you. It's not blessing you. It's not helping you. It's not helping anybody else. And so you've got to begin to do an evaluation. One of the things that I want to recommend that you reach a point where you become dissatisfied with being where you are. And so if I can give a theme to the word I want to share today, it is when dissatisfaction becomes your motivator. Praise God. And so when you are satisfied being where you are, nothing motivates you to go any further or to do anything different. And the book of Joshua chapter 1, first of all, we see that God became dissatisfied with where the Israelites were. So God becomes dissatisfied too, because God had promised them through Moses that he was going to take them to a land of Canaan, a land full of milk and honey. But here they were, all tied up in the country of Moab, a place where the children of God were not supposed to be. In fact, the Israelites and the Moabites were always at war, and they served false gods there and stuff like that. And they were told by God, instructed by God, not to intermarry. But yet they were here. And God wanted them to cross over into the new land, into Jordan, cross the Jordan, and enjoy all of the things that he had promised them. So if you are in a place where you are contented and happy where you are, you will never be able to get your new day and your new era, because you're happy where you are. You're sitting there and the devil will tell you, yeah, man, you feel good. You know, you don't have to do anything, worry about anything. You know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So what you know, you enjoy. But I want to say this morning that God wants you to become dissatisfied with where you are and get to the point where you say, I want better. I know I can do better. I can do better. I should be in a better place. I should be you know, in a better area where I can minister as God will have me to minister. So Reverend Gail is going to read us a couple of verses from Joshua chapter 1, because Joshua was in this stupor, looking back to what had been with Moses, and God had to kind of jumpstart him, wake him up to tell him, Moses is dead. Reverend Gail.
Good morning to all the listeners, and God bless you. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the greater river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your course. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And that's ending at verse 7.
Thank you. It's very important to note here, Reverend Gail, that God was bringing to Joshua's attention the fact that Moses had died.
Yes.
It wasn't that Joshua didn't know, but Joshua was stuck in a place where he was looking back, and he was comparing what happened with Moses and wondering in his head if it will happen for him going forward. He was comparing the great things that he saw happen with Moses, you know, and wondering, how can I get this done? But he also was comparing how the Israelites were miserable people, mm-hmm. who grumble and complain for everything. And he was wondering, how am I going to manage these rebellious people? You know, he was evaluating the whole situation that he was involved in, because he recognized, you know, he knew that Moses was dead, but God had to wake him up. That was a wake-up call.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
And sometimes God has to come to us and wake us up, because we get real stagnant and satisfied with what we have. And it isn't that we should be greedy, but God wants us to do better.
Amen.
God wants to go further. God wants to advance in our ministries. God wants to expand our ministry. God wants us to don't think just locally, but think globally.
Yes.
God wants to think internationally. God wants to think not just, you know, there in Waganda, in a place in, you know, called Fourth Avenue, but he wants to touch Christ Church and St. Lucie, expand your borders. You know, don't be satisfied in that place that you're at. And the definition of dissatisfaction is that you're discontented with the place. You have a lack of satisfaction. There's a state of attitude that you're not satisfied being here, a displeasure, right, with being in that place. It's not uneasiness. And you disapprove of the place, and you're disappointed in the place. All of that really is dealing with dissatisfaction. And then motivation. It is the willingness of someone that needs to be stimulated and desire to continue and do something better and be committed to a job, a role, or a subject, to make an effort to attain better things, something good, yeah? To have more energy and excitement than what you have right now. So it's important to recognize that we have got to be, as a church and as a people, we have got to be dissatisfied where we are. If we're not doing the will and purpose of God, if we're not seeing souls get saved, if we're not having an evangelistic program, if we're not seeing people, you know, get healed, we must become dissatisfied.
Yeah.
That's why God is saying to Joshua, Moses is dead. No, you
rise.
Get up, mm-hmm. rise up, rise and shine, mm-hmm. you know, and begin to lead the people. I have mandated you to lead. And as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I'm the same God, the God of Moses, and I'm your God. And be strong and be courageous. And four times in that reading between verse 1 and verse 10, God told Joshua to be strong and be of good courage and not to be dismayed, because it means that there are circumstances that will cause them to want to be discouraged and distressed. But he said, don't be discouraged. I'm with you. And I lead you to a place that is better than where you are now. Because he can see, as I can gather, he couldn't see where he was going. And he is figuring in his head, you know, let me just stand here and ponder and all that kind of stuff. And God said to him, get up, Moses is dead. Now, therefore, you go over this mountain, thou and all these people, into the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Yes, you can do it. And he told him, every place the sole of your feet shall tread, I have given to you, as I said to Moses.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That's a powerful promise.
Yes.
You know, and then God began to lay out the map from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, or the land of the Hittites, and into the great sea, toward the going of the sun shall be your course. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life,
hallelujah,
as it was with Moses. I mean, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage. Because unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So, in other words, God is saying, I told Moses about the inheritance. You're the one that's going to divide the inheritance. You're the one going to take the cities. And you know, Joshua took over 31 kings.
Yes.
Joshua. When he got up from where he was, we have to raise up, man. You can't conquer when you are just in a place of complacency, thinking that I don't know how to get up. You know, sitting there wondering is not enough. If God has said it, God is faithful to bring it to pass.
Praise God.
Praise the name of God. So I am going to just pause and let Reverend Gail share, and Apostle Chris and Mr. Octave, and then I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Apostle. This is a powerful word. One of the things that just jumped out at me was the verse 2, when he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua and the Israelites were on pause. Mm-hmm. They were just there. And they didn't realize that they were not fulfilling purpose. I don't know who might be listening to the radio program today, and you might find yourself discontented, dissatisfied with where you are. Mm-hmm. But God is saying to arise. The other thing that God said is go over.
Yeah.
That means that the mandate that Moses had, Joshua had to know that he had the mandate now to carry it forward.
Yes.
So I don't know what ministry a person that's listening and you seem, you're pondering, you're looking at things, but God is saying to go forward. He said, go over this Jordan, you and all the people. God is saying that whatever he had said concerning Israel and inheriting the land, he was still very much on board with it. But the Joshua and the Israelites paused. And where did they pause? They paused in Moab. And when you look at where Moab is of the lineage of Lot.
Yes.
And Abraham had to dis Lot.
It's so true.
He had to leave Lot behind so that God would start to really show him the promise. And there might be some times in our lives when we have to ditch people.
Yes.
And they were stuck in Moab.
Yeah.
And Moab was also a place of rebellion and pride.
Yes.
So today God is saying, as far as I'm concerned, to arise, get up. You know, get from where you are now and go forward. Continue to go forward and get out of the place whereby you might be surrounded with people who would keep you stuck. Move out from where you are and begin to move in the purpose that God has called for you to do.
Thank you so much, Reverend Gail. A poet once said, Ms. Gwendolyn Boots once said, even if you are not ready for the new day, it cannot always be night in your life.
That's powerful.
Yes. So you have to be able to begin to get up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want your new day, you got to move.
Yeah.
You got to do something in place to say, I am moving from here. God had to push Joshua to think, I can do this. Joshua, get up. Moses dead. You got to be a leader. You can do it. All I give Moses, I give you. And all I have done for Moses, I'm going to do for you.
Amen.
So, you know, we believe that God is saying that to the church today, to all the ministers today, because God wants the church to expand her borders and touch the society. We look at what's happening in our society, and there's too much darkness and crime perpetuated across our nation. But this is too small. Our 13-year-old son from the law school. We can't afford to have our children being killed in the streets. Our children should be able to go and play netball and stuff safe. And all this is happening. The church does not have to look at ourselves and say, what can I do to bring that change? We can do it. Because God has called us. He said, where we have put will trod, I'll give you. So we have to get it and take all of these places where it seems as though the violent guys are taking over. And they go and set up their own church on the blocks. And pastor or those young men, pseudo pastor, those young men. And the Lord has called the church to go up there and do the right thing.
Yeah.
So God is calling us to get up from our place of complacency, become dissatisfied with where we are as a church. Apostle Chris.
This is a fascinating word because it speaks so much to what's happening around us today.
Yes.
If we look back at that time, what Joshua would have felt, he had a great leader in Moses. And he was able to be Moses' aid all along. Mm-hmm. The next first session.
Yeah.
He'd be the one succeeding. But I can understand the challenge he has. Right, he looked at enormous task. He will see what happened to Moses, what Moses went through. Thousands of people there and that thing going on. It's scary.
Yes.
It is a scary experience. People could be real difficult. Even the ones that say they follow God.
Mm-hmm.
It can be extremely complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have to speak truth. You know what you're talking? Engage me ever so often, but let me make my own decision. And that's not God's way of doing things. God allow you to make your own decision, but there are consequences for it. You get what he wants when you follow him. You get what you take when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand what Joshua would have gone through. He watched Moses go through his experience over and over. The kind of rebellion he had around him. And now Moses told, I must do this. I mean, Joshua told, I must do this thing. It got to be hard for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you, all of us leaders, have to reach a stage where the enormity of the stars will in no way intimidate us from doing what God wants. We all have to reach a stage. God wants this, I'm going to do it. If two go with me, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
If four go with me, I'm going. If 100 go with me, we are going. We are going to conquer. We are going to overcome. We will become who God wants us to be. So it's a great task for a leader to motivate people when they go through these kind of cycles. But we don't have a choice. All succession depends on it. All success is determined by what we do. If God is ever going to lead us to the next level, we got to do what God wants done today.
Yeah.
It's not always what we want to do.
Mm-mm.
It must be what he wants.
Yes.
If he wants it, the Moabites cannot take you over. As powerful as might as they are, they cannot take you. We must not be afraid of man. We must not be afraid of politicians. We must not be afraid of powerful people. They are nothing to God when they're not walking with him. The only thing that matters here is we do what God wants. I don't want to encourage you, pastors. Let's do it. Church leaders, let's do it. Barbados, the Caribbean, the world is gravely in need of people that will get and say, you cross over now. Hear that word that God gave to Joshua. You can do it. We can do it. And we must do it for the salvation of those around us.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Chris, thank you so much. Elder Octave, please share this.
Oftentimes, we are overwhelmed by the situation which is presented before us. We have a task which the Lord has called us to do, and we do not take our eyes to Christ. We look at the situation. We look at everything else that's around us. When the Lord said, look unto the hills which cometh my help cometh from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we are tricked by the enemy into assuming a comfort zone. Why move? Why do you have to do anything?
Yeah.
There's no need for that. You're comfortable here. You're locked into a prison cell, not with bars and chains, but with comfort of a settee, the electronic gadgets, the technology. And these things are what holds us bondage to our own selves. And I would encourage anyone, especially the believers who will be given a task by the Lord, to shake off your complacency.
Yeah.
Shake off the stupor where the enemy tells you that you are inadequate, unable, unwilling, and trust the Lord. He has brought you this far, and he will continue to take you further.
Praise God. What a task that God gave Joshua, though.
Yes.
But he was able to do it because God said, I'll be with you. Mm-hmm. As I was with Moses. So as long as we know that God is with us, we know we can get the job done. So I also want to look at another person in the Bible, Reverend Gail.
Yes.
Bartimaeus. Mm-hmm. Because we mustn't stay. You see, I like what Arthur said. If we get into our comfort zone and lock in,
yes,
we don't want to move, be happy. We don't know that better is to come. That our tomorrow, our new day, better, greater, awesome. Our new day, our new evil will bring better to us. But we are so comfortable here knowing in the known, and we don't want to go into the unknown. But the same God that took us through the area of inner warfare and stuff like that, and what we say now is the known, can take us into the unknown.
That's right.
The same God that was with Moses, he said, I shall be with you, Joshua. Yes. You know, so Joshua had to take faith and jump up. He said, come on, let's go. In 3 days, we cross, you know, everybody. In other words, if you ain't ready, you get left. Let's go. So he really took God seriously. And you know the results of what he did. He took Jericho, and he took so many different kings. He was a great, mighty warrior. Bartimaeus, now, in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. We're not going to read that. We know the story of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. The Bible doesn't say, I don't know if it says how long he was there, but we know he was a grown man with blindness. And he's there, and he heard that Jesus was passing. And he started to cry to Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the people, a large crowd of people, you know, it's funny, when you want help, nobody don't give you. But as soon as you try to reject, a large crowd trying to discourage you, to discourage you.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm telling you, no, you can't get it done. Don't go there. It ain't look good. It ain't going to work. We have to stop looking at the large crowd and keep our eyes on Jesus.
Well,
yeah. Our team must get us on Jesus, you know. But he didn't have eyes, but you know.
Right, yeah.
But he gets focused on Jesus. On Jesus. And when they told him to stop, he said, listen, you see this problem? Y'all can see, you know, but I can't see. Y'all have your sight. I have my sight. So listen to me. I cry for my sight.
You know, that's you.
I got to see. And Jesus passing, he's my only hope of having sight.
Because now this can happen.
I am uncomfortable. I am dissatisfied with being here blind too long. Because as a blind man, he was a beggar.
Yes. Yes.
So when you're blind, you're begging. The devil can do all kind of things, trick you in all areas, lead you all about the place. People can give you, if they want to give 5 cents, 10 cents, $5. It's up to people's discretion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't live at people's discretion. You want to go and work for your own money. Do your own things. So God don't want ministers or churches to be in begging position. God wants us to see and stop being that place where we are helpless and so on. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm determined. And one of the greatest things that you can see happen there with Bartimaeus, before he even got to Jesus, Jesus stopped, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got Jesus' attention because when they tell him to shut up, the man said, well, I go to another decibel. You tell me to shut up?
Well, the man
louder. And Jesus heard him. Wonderful.
Nice.
Jesus heard. And people tell him, come, Jesus want you. And when he heard that, listen what he did. And that is what caused his healing, you know. He took that cloak that he had on and threw it away.
Yes.
Because that cloak was a reminder of his blindness and of his begging. Because at that time, I believe that beggars would wear a certain coat that would tell people that person is blind and to assist them or whatever, or give them whatever, you know, benefits or whatever they need to have. So he said, I don't want enough to remind me of being blind and being a beggar. So before he went to Jesus, he threw off his cloak. And he it also said to me that he's saying, you see them people over there that begging and blind, I ain't going back with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go back with them. So I threw away the coat so they never have to pick it up and go back over there. He had faith that he was going to be healed. He was dissatisfied with his present position. He was satisfied with begging. He was satisfied with blindness. We have to reach a point where we're dissatisfied, man.
Yes.
That's our motivating factor. You got to get dissatisfied. So I don't like this place where I am. We can't be in church all year and nobody ain't getting saved. And we ain't going out to do no work for the Lord. We got to get dissatisfied. We ain't seeing no growth. We young people are not developing. We have to become dissatisfied. And then on our own walk, we're not developing. We're not doing what God would cause us to do. We're sitting down and we feel happy just to go to church and just come back home. No. We have to impact our society. Yes. We have to impact the nation. And we have to impact the world. Because God has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so he became dissatisfied. That was his motivating factor. Mm-hmm. And he shut up for the longer. And Jesus heard him. And Jesus, you know what he did? He stopped Jesus in his track. When we really shout from our hearts, we stop Jesus in his tracks. Mm-hmm. We get his attention. Praise God. And all we drown, all those that are telling us, no, shut up. When we get his attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus' attention is on us, and our attention is on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful place to be at. And then he threw off his coat. I'm so glad that people today are throwing off their coats and they're going to Jesus. Jesus, yeah. I want my healing. And Jesus knew he was blind too. But he asked him, what do you have me to do for you? What Jesus wants you to do is to verbalize what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Open him up and say, when you want me to speak to it, say it openly. Yeah. And the devil hear you say, I want my sight. I want this. I want, say what you want. But it says, when you open your mouth and say that you have faith enough to call it.
Amen.
To call it out and claim it. Praise God. And God, what Jesus told him, your faith has made you whole. He had the faith to throw away the coat before he got to Jesus. To distance himself from his past.
Yes, yes.
And say to himself, I'm going back there because I can be healed. And Jesus, when I get to Jesus, I'm going to be okay. And I will never have to come back for this coat that says I'm a beggar. I want to come up for this court that says I am blind. And that was the factor that healed Bartimaeus. Praise God. And he got healed. And you know what? After he got healed, he went and became a follower, a disciple of Jesus. And is he how serious he was? We're not going back to his old company.
Correct.
To his old friends. When God called you up from that situation, don't go back. Follow Jesus and do what he called you to do for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Reverend Gail, God bless you as you share.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Indeed, today we will not be going back. We will be dissatisfied with where we are at and make sure that we go forward in Jesus' name. We want to thank our sponsors and praise God for them. And they are Nature Isle Landscape. They are very professional at the work of landscaping and beautifying your homes and properties. Give them a call today and benefit from their services. 436-4753. Thank you so much for tuning in once again to our program. We pray that you have been empowered. We pray that you will move from where you are to where God wants you to be and fulfill his purpose in the kingdom. Please contact us and let us know how this program has helped you. And the numbers are 422-2512, 422-2512. Or 432-6479, 432-6479. And we are located at 4th Avenue, Rotdundo, St. James. Remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Reverend Gail. God bless you. God bless you, listeners. Please do what you have to do, but get dissatisfied where you are. That should be your main motivating factor to get up and rise and get your new day and your new era. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you as you tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory on Life 97.5 FM.